pure as thou art. Come in thy meekness, come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. I had to chuckle inside with the second song that you led. About 2-3 months ago, the song leader for the closing song led that song. And he said, now, in this song, there's the word Ebenezer. And he went through this great, long definition of Ebenezer. It was just very fascinating. And then he leads the song, and the fellow who handled that skipped that verse. So we never sang Ebenezer. And so when you were singing the Here I Raise My Ebenezer, I just thought that, yeah, that was the verse he wanted. But we didn't sing that. It's good to be with you today. I hope we've been able to do some things. Hope you've been edified. Folks, I'll tell you right now, I don't know everything. In fact, it's kind of funny. The older you get, the less you know. I don't know if any of the rest of you have found that out. You know, if you talked to me back in 1976 when I graduated Harding College, I knew it all. And here we are heading in the year 2025, and I don't think I know diddly. It's amazing positions that you held at one time. The more you study, you begin to think, you know, maybe that's not the truth. I'll never get my wife and I were a young married couple, and we visited this congregation for a while, and the teacher got up there on a Wednesday night class, and he was espousing things. And I was going, no, that was not what I'd heard all my life. That can't be. Man, I got out my little notepad, my pen, and I'm writing down notes and everything. Man, I'm going to come back here next week. I'm going to prove this dude wrong. And we got home, and I went into my little study. My wife went on to bed, and I stayed for about 2 hours studying. I sat there and thought, you know, that old boy may be right. It hadn't been something I read. I say that for this reason. My great philosophy as a gospel preacher has always been this. Do not accept anything that I or any other gospel preacher say because we're gospel preachers. Check it out and make sure it's in the book. Now, where do I get my biblical present? You remember, Paul had been teaching in the city of Thessalonica, and he leaves Thessalonica, and he comes to the city of Berea. Now, we're not told of all that was going on in Berea, but there's one important statement that's made. It says, and the Bereans were more noble-minded than those of the Thessalonians, because they received the word with readiness of mind, searching the scriptures daily to see whether it was so. Now, think about that. They didn't have a book like this. They only had scrolls, and the scriptures that they would have been seeking were the Old Testament writings like Isaiah. And so they didn't have it broken down into chapters and verses. There were two men later in history that broke our Bibles down into chapters and verses, and we're so glad they did, because then I could tell you, like, go to Luke 22:5, and you could go to Luke 22:5. But about all that Paul could have sat there and said was, well, you know, about in the middle of Isaiah said so-and-so. They so diligently wanted to make sure that what they were taught was true. They get out those scrolls and they're going through, well, let's see if I can find that thing. They weren't going to accept it because the preacher said it. My sister, she had graduated from college. She moved to Colorado Springs. And just outside of Colorado Springs is the United States Air Force Academy. And there was a young cadet that was at the Air Force Academy that attended services there. And they asked him to speak one Sunday night. And so he got up Sunday night, and he went on for about 5-10 minutes and just was saying all kinds of things. People nodding their head, nodding their head, nodding their head, so on and so forth. And he stopped, and he said, now, brethren, everything I've said to you is not in the Bible. I made it all up. But how many of you knew it? What he was doing was challenging them. Don't accept it because I said it. You got to make sure it's in the book. And so I challenge you in that we need to make sure whatever is taught, that's your New Year's resolution for 2025, okay? That I'm not going to accept anything that the preacher says because he's the preacher. Victor's a good guy. But do you know something? Victor could be wrong, just like I can be wrong. But you know what? This ain't. And so we need to check and make sure that what we're being taught is the truth. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, come to your throne of grace and mercy again this morning. Just so thankful for the chance we've had to come to blend our voices together in song to you, for the opportunity we've had to partake the emblems around the table, the opportunity, Father, to break open your word together and study it. Father, we ask that you'll guide us in all that we do. We pray that our actions will always be pleasing to you. We ask that you'll help us as we study this morning, that, Father, your word is proclaimed and not man's, and that you're the one that's glorified. Father, we're not perfect people. You know that better than we do. We need your love, your grace, and mercy at all times. So just be with us. Use us to your glory until the day you determine to call us. For all these favors and blessings, we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. And amen. If you got your Bibles, I'm in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 25. Luke chapter 22, verse 25. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it's not to be this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, Jesus Christ said, even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. What is service? Webster defines it as contributing to the welfare of others. The Greek word is the word diakonos. W. E. Vine, in his Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, says it means to minister, to render any kind of service. You know, the great goal of Christianity is to have the word produce a real change in our lives. Peter speaks of the need that we have to walk in the steps of Jesus, 1 Peter 2, 21. In other words, that we be individuals that are like Jesus. And that leads us to ask the question, well, what was Jesus like? What was his life like? Well, simply, it was a life of service. And thus, if we're walking in the steps of Jesus, then that by definition would mean that we will be servants. Friends, all of Christian life is service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Thus, when the Lord speaks of service, what is it that he really desires of you and of me? You know, you hear people say from time to time within church that they can't serve because they simply don't have the ability. I'm afraid that service too many times is looked upon as being simply a list of things that we are to be able to do. And maybe that's where our problem lies. Because service is not a list of things that we do. It's who we are. It's not a code of ethics. It's a way of life. It's one thing to act like a servant. It's another thing to be a servant. You know, it's possible for us to master the mechanics, you know, the various acts of service, and yet still not be what the Lord meant when he said for us to become servants. In Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, Paul spoke that the real Jew, the one who really belongs to the Lord, is one who is a Jew inwardly, not one who is a Jew by the external things of his life. In like manner, our service needs to be inward, not necessarily the external. And that's where I think we struggle sometimes in the church. How many really believe that Christian service is what we do in public worship? Now, it's true that's an aspect of service. But you know, when you talk about the externals, whether you're talking about men being able to lead singing or read a prayer or handle the table or bring lessons or so on and so forth, if we're not careful, that can be nothing but a show, nothing but a performance. Sometimes the service that we perform before others is shallow. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven.
And he gives examples. You know, the alms and the prayers and the fasting. These can be nothing more than external things that you're doing. But you're not doing them to basically, you're going down the list. It's the checklist, you know. It's okay, I had to do this, okay, we're done. It's kind of like, you know, when we come to a worship service. Okay, we got to have songs, got that done, we got prayer, got that done, we got the Lord's Supper, got that done, we got to have, you know, the sermon, got that done. We go through the checklist, and we complete the checklist, and we pat ourselves on the back that we've done this. Folks, real Christianity, real Christian service goes deeper than what anyone can externally see. It's who we are. And thus, I want to challenge you this morning. In a few days, we're about to begin a new year. And this is a time that many times preachers will, we give sermons on resolutions that we are to make. Well, I'm not going to give you a sermon on resolutions this morning. But what I want to challenge us as we begin this new year is think of service. How can you really serve the Lord in the year 2025? Well, let's begin, because I think many times real service is the small things, the thoughtful things that we do. In that chapter of the book of Acts, we're told of some of the journeys of Peter. And he came to the city of Joppa. And there the disciples were grieving over the death of a woman by the name of Dorcas, or Tabitha, depending upon the language that was being used. And in verse 36, the Bible says, "And this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she did continually." In fact, verse 39, we read how she was making clothing for the widows. Here we find a service. It was a service of this lady giving of herself to meet the needs of other folks. I remember being in a congregation one time, and there was a little lady there that she would just see that there would be maybe a new family in town or someone who had some things happening, and she would do little things. She'd bake a cake or pie. There was a grocery store in Lake Butler. It was called Spire's Grocery Store, and it caught on fire one day. And they had to totally remodel the grocery store. Well, that meant that the employees, many of them were out of job for a while, but many of the employees were there helping to try to put it all together. And so she would just go to her house and cook a lunch and go over there and give it to the people there. Little acts of service. This same woman would sit there, and she found out that we were just a young family, and I don't know how many times my wife or I would come to the front door and there would be a cake sitting there on the front porch. Acts of service. The acts of giving of themselves. And there's so many people in this congregation. There are no doubt individuals who see needs. And they're not looking for pats on the back. They're not looking for glory. They're not announcing what they're doing. They're just going out there. Maybe it's sending a card. Maybe it's making a phone call. Maybe it's nothing more or another than when you're at services, it's just go up and say something. You know, I was in a congregation when I was growing up. There was this young couple. I'll never forget them. Jim was an extremely intelligent man. Now you got to remember, this is back in the 70s. And this is at the beginning of the computer world. He was on the cutting edge of it. He was in the military. And they would call him from Lowry Air Force Base to go to the Pentagon to show them how to do their computers and everything. This was a highly intelligent man. Jim was a great guy, but he was kind of a dork. You know, I don't know how else to describe it. And Sue, his wife Sue, was just an old country bumpkin. I don't know if she even got her high school degree. And it was kind of amazing. Here you got this highly intelligent guy, you got this country bumpkin, and they just made it. And I'll never forget, before I headed off my freshman year to college, they asked me to be a part of their wedding, and I was. And I came back at the end of my freshman year, and Sue came up to me right after services Sunday morning. She says, "Bob, can we talk?" And I said, "Well, sure." And we went back in the auditorium, and we sat down on a pew, and she just started bawling her eyes out. She said, "Bob, we are so lonely. We have no friends. Oh, people are nice to us. They'll say, 'Hi, how are you doing?' And that's it. And we're lonely." You know, some of the greatest acts of service you can do for another brother or sister is spend some time with them. Call him, talking to him, sit down next to him. It's giving of yourself. to another folk as we begin 2025. And we're looking, how can I serve the Lord? I serve the Lord by doing what the Lord did, having time for people, spending time and meeting needs when they come about. How about the service of guarding another individual's reputation? In Titus chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, malign or slander nobody. In Romans chapter 1, 28 through 32, Paul speaks of a list of the sins that God had turned the people over to. And some of them were gossiping and backbiting. And he said, those who persist in those things are going to lead to eternal death. You know, it's amazing how quickly you can destroy another individual's reputation by one word. Did you hear about him? Did you hear about her? One of the greatest services I think that we can do and display to others is sometimes we just keep our mouth shut. Or maybe we don't participate in it. I heard a story one time of a young preacher and his wife came to a congregation, and that first Sunday, some of the ladies came up to the preacher's wife and says, now we need to warn you about a couple of these people. We need to tell you about these people. And she says, have what you got to say is good? Well, no, but you didn't. She said, I'm not interested. And she walked away. See, one of the greatest services may be, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to do it myself. I'm not going to listen to what other people have to say. And save someone's reputation. And not destroy their lives. And then there's that service of common courtesy. Continue on in Titus in chapter 3, verse 2. Show every consideration for all men. You know, courtesy, common courtesy, is really a missing trait in our society today. But for the servant of Christ, it should be just a natural part of our lives. You know, saying words like please, or thank you, or hello, or goodbye, or wishing you Godspeed. To be those individuals who say the things that are courteous to people. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And these things should be a regular part of our lives as Christians. There should be something distinctive within us. We're not like everybody else. Is that a struggle? Yeah. I know I'm not the only one who does this. Men, I want you to shake your heads when I tell you this. Let me know I'm not the only one. You're going down the highway. Someone cuts in front of you. I went up one time to these young teenagers. They just almost knocked me off. And I pulled up and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I sat there and thought about it later. What if they pulled out a gun? And I need to be courteous. I need to say, hey, sorry. I cut you off or got in your way. Or you know, one of the things that has gotten so sad today, and we need to really be teaching, I think, our young people, but where did they learn it from? It's from us. We just went through a holiday period. Have you thanked people for what they might have given you? A little note here, a little bit of courtesy. One of the greatest servants that we can do is to show people how important they are. They're part of the creation of God. I taught for many years at the county jail in St. Augustine. And I'd go up, and there'd be inmates, and, you know, there'd be blacks and whites and everything, all kinds of inmates. And generally, I'd go up to one of the black inmates, and I'd say, folks, I want you to look at this fella. Do you realize that fella right there is my distant cousin? They look at me funny. I said, you know what the only difference is between him and me? He got a better suntan I'll ever get. But if you believe the Bible says in the beginning he created Adam and Eve, told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. They had kids who had kids who had kids. Come down the time of Noah's Ark. There's eight people who walk off the ark. You know what God said? Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. They had kids who had kids who had kids. If it was possible to develop a family tree all the way back to Noah and all the way back to Adam, we're all on the same tree. We're all on the same tree. And we need to show courtesy towards everybody. Doesn't matter what color skin there is. Doesn't matter what their economic status is. Doesn't matter whether they're good looking or ugly. But you show common courtesy. One of the greatest services we could do this year is to be courteous to people. And then there's that service of hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Galatians 6 verse 10. So then while we have the opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those who have the household of faith. You know, lending a helping hand was a natural function of the Lord. He was always willing to help. You remember when he fed the 5,000? What did the apostles tell Jesus to do? Jesus, is getting late, it's time for food, you know, and we ain't got anything. Send them home, Jesus. Jesus said, no, we're going to feed them. We're going to take care of them. He sought to provide for them. One of the greatest stories that Jesus ever told was the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember that in Luke chapter 10. There was a man who had been beaten up, robbed, left on the side of the road for dead. People passed by. They didn't do anything. The religious leaders passed by, do nothing. But there was this one fella. He stopped. He bound his wounds. He picked him up, carried him into town, took him to the innkeeper, gave the innkeeper 2 denarii and said, look, take care of this fellow. When I come back, if it costs you any more, let me know and I'll pay you that. He didn't know that person. He'd probably never seen him before. But it was an individual who needed some help, an individual that needed something. And we need to be people like that. We need to be people that reach out to other people when we see it. I'll never forget when I was a youth minister when I first got out of college. We had a little old lady in the congregation. She and her husband were just sweet. They kind of befriended me when I first got there, and he passed away, and it was just her. And I'll never forget that one Sunday night, I remember so well that I was in the building, and a couple of the teams said, Bob, you got to come out here real quick. And I said, what happened? And she took there, and she was standing out there just crying. She'd backed her car up and hit the pole of the building. And I said, well, don't worry about it. I said, there's no damage here as far as your car. Just call the insurance company in the morning, and they'll take, oh, no, I can't call them. It wasn't the insurance fault. It was my fault. I said, no, that's what you're paying insurance for. And so I helped her the next day, and we called her, and she said, they're going to take care. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she needed that. So I saw this woman was a woman who needed some help and everything. Well, there was a big tree between the front door and the sidewalk, and at nighttime, it looked like some man was standing there and she was scared to death. So I got the teens out there one Saturday. We got some chainsaws and I got the teenage girls. They went inside to help clean the house. We cut down that tree and everything. A little bit of hospitality. Giving of ourselves to other people. Are there areas that you could do that this year? Showing some hospitality to people? Helping them out when they need some help? How about the service of listening? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. What does that word burden mean? Well, I think in a practical way you could say it could be giving person an ear. You know, so many times we just don't have time for other folks, do we? Or do we? It comes down to the fact, do we really care? You know, sometimes what people need is someone that will just listen to them. I found out that one of the things in the years that I've preached, you know, people who are sick or people that have lost a loved one. And have you ever noticed when an individual loses a loved one, one of the hardest things is go because you don't know what in the world to say. Well, you know what I've discovered over the years? You know, one of the best things I could do is just go there and sit down and hold their hand. Maybe not say a word, just listen to them. Let them cry on my shoulder. We had a lady in the congregation, her husband had passed away, and for years she would struggle. There would be many times on a Sunday morning, you know, maybe it was a certain song that was sung, and that was his favorite song, and it reminded her of him. And she'd come walking out the auditorium, and I could see her. I said, come here, you need a hug. And she said, how did you know? And I said, I could tell. I'd put my arm around her, listen to her. Folks, we need to be people that listen. We've all got 24 hours in a day. Slow down a little bit. Give some of your time to other folks. It's not going to hurt you if you take an extra 10 minutes to listen to somebody. But that could mean a whole lot to them. The service of listening. And then there's the general service of just sharing ourselves. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this. Visit the orphans and the widows in their distress and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Do you remember in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ is describing their judgment day? And he speaks of the righteous who are going to really be in heaven. And he says, I was sick and you visited me. I was, I was, I, I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. And they'll say, Lord, when did we do this? When did we visit you? When did we come to you and visit you? He says, truly I say to you, the extent you did to this, the least of my brothers, you did it to me. You know, I've heard brethren say, well, I just can't go to hospitals. I just can't walk into a hospital. Let me tell you something. I've done a lot of hospital visits, and I don't like them. There are a lot of other places I'd like to be other than a hospital. But let me ask you something. When you're in the hospital, are you grateful someone came by and said hello? Sometimes we just need to go ahead and make ourselves do some things. I've had to sit there in the homes of people. I had a lady call me one time. This is about 30-some years ago or better. Her husband had cancer. He had lung cancer. Every time I go to visit him, he'd take his shirt off. Because, you see, they were doing radiation, and they'd paint blocks on his chest. He wanted me to see the new patterns on his chest every time I walked in. Then he saw me walk in the door. Here he comes out that shirt. She calls me one morning about 6 o'clock in the morning. Bob, I think it's gone. I'll be there in a minute. I'll never forget there. I got there, and she said, he's in there. And I walked in there, and he'd gone. I said, who'd you call? You. I said, okay, and we sat down. And I called the funeral home for her, and I called the authorities and got it all taken care of. And I'm going to tell you right now, that wasn't an enjoyable morning for me. I don't like being around dead bodies. Maybe you're not like this. I get the willies. I'll never forget when my grandmother died. We found her dead in her apartment on Mother's Day. Can you imagine? My dad was an only child. My grandmother had been ill for a while. My sisters were home from college. And Dad had tried to call my grandmother on Friday, and there was no answer on the phone. Well, he called my mother, who worked downtown, and said, would you check on Mom? And Mom had gone over there, and grandmother swore up and down the phone never rang. And so we had called the telephone company, and they were coming out Monday morning, check her phone. Well, Saturday comes, and we went over there, and my father and I'd always go over there on Saturdays to buy her groceries, but the whole family was over there. We bought her groceries and everything. Last thing I ever did for my grandmother, she looked at me and she said, would you go down to McDonald's and get me a hamburger fry? The reason I remember that so well, there was a half-eaten hamburger and fry on the table when we found her dead. But Sunday morning came, and Dad called her to say, Happy Mother's Day. Well, there was no answer to the phone. Well, supposedly the phone hadn't worked Friday, so we didn't think a whole lot of it. We went to church. We took my mother out for dinner, and we got all our presents and a meal and everything. We're going over to my grandmother's house, her apartment. We get to the door of the apartment. My grandmother's newspaper was laying there on the front door. My dad said, Mom didn't get her paper. Took his key, opened the door. She was laying between the kitchen and the living room. He yelled, Mom's fallen. He runs over there, and he looks down there, and he looks at my mother with strangest look in his face. And he says, Dorothy, my mother's dead. And he kept repeating it and repeating it until he fell apart. Well, we didn't know what to do. My mother called the authorities, and the authority says, get out of the apartment. Until an officer gets there, they got to rule out, foul play. So we're standing out there in the hallway of the apartment complex, and I'm going, Mom, I got to use bathroom bad. And she says, well, go on in there and use it. So I walked in, ran to the bathroom, and I come walking out, and my mind plays tricks on me. And I saw my grandmother sitting up and said, hi, Robert. I ran out of the apartment. My mom says, what's wrong with you? And I said, nothing. I was white as a sheet. I get willies around dead bodies. But I've learned that there are people who need me when they've lost somebody. It's giving of yourself to be with other people when they're in need. The service that you can give. See, it's not just public service. It's not just teaching a Bible class that we can serve the Lord. We are His servants. And as Jesus gave His life every day in the service of other folks, oh, how we need to do that. To visit the sick, the destitute, to give our times and energies. What does it really mean, folks, to be a Christian? Or maybe, just maybe, this is the question we need to be asking ourselves. Has becoming a Christian made a difference in your life? As you look inward at your life today, can you say
that you really are a servant of Christ, or do we just perform acts of service? There's a song that we sing from time to time. It's a song that I have found myself needing to sing many times in my private devotionals. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave it all for thee. What hast thou given for me? Have we truly given him our lives? And so I challenge you that as we begin this new year, may we all commit to ourselves, but most impressively to the Lord, that we will be his servants. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus. If you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to come right now while together we stand and sing.